joining Evan and I now is a woman who is working in a role that I find really fascinating, and I believe if I know what I'm talking about, and we know that I don't always, is fairly new in the film and television industry, but she is currently working on Guillermo del Toro's new movie, Nightmare Alley, as well as the Apple Plus show, C, as an intimacy coordinator. Joining us now, please welcome Sonia Barnett.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start out with just the basics. I mean, what is an intimacy coordinator? What exactly do you do?
Well, it's a fairly new role. It's come out within the last couple of years, and we are brought on to make sure that scenes of intimacy, nudity, sexuality, sexual violence, stuff like that is addressed carefully, consensually, safely, and make sure that everybody's on the same page with what to expect between the director and the actors, and that there are no surprises once everybody gets on set.
I think one thing that has come up, especially if, you know, people have been following a lot of the stories that have kind of come out in the last few years around Hollywood and productions, is some of those stories do come down, sometimes during the Me Too movement, stories would come out in terms of, on a workplace, on a set, that, you know, contractually it says one thing, but then when you're in the moment on the scene, sometimes actors felt that they were pressured to show more or do more than they felt comfortable, or also even in the, you know, every actor that I've had a chance to interview has always talked about how it's, you know, shooting a sex scene is always very technical and awkward and does not feel the way it looks on screen. But there, it does seem like that is an environment that's really rife for confusion and like accidents to happen in terms of people feeling awkward, maybe not knowing they should speak up, not knowing if this is okay. And so it seems like one of those gray areas that it's so smart to have someone who comes in and goes, okay, here are the things we're going to kind of talk through. This is what, if you have a problem, you're going to come to me. When did this role of intimacy coordinator, like, it's fairly new. How did you learn about it and come to be that person?
It's the role itself is, it started in the theater industry. So they've had intimacy directors, I think for about 10 years now. And, you know, why there are similarities between theater and film, there are also differences. Like, for theater, you're doing the same thing every single day. You're doing the same performance every day. So you're touching and talking to people every day. So they brought it in a few years ago, and it was really, when it was brought into film, kind of the thing that caught fire was the show The Deuce, and it was produced by HBO. It was in New York. It was about the rise of sex in downtown New York, the rise of porn in the 70s and 80s. So there was a lot of sex on that show. And from what I understand, there were some concerns by performers that because there were so many sex scenes and nude scenes, they felt that they needed to be a little bit more protected on set. So they brought in somebody and who said, I think this is what you need to be doing. This is a woman named Alicia Rodas. And they said, okay, great. You do it. And then it just kind of took off from there. So after that, it went so well that HBO then said, we're going to have an intimacy coordinator on set for every single one of our shows.
Because HBO is the naked channel.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of ways, right? Like every show there's, you're like, I'm seeing someone naked at some point.
I don't know if you've ever seen that clip. It's not porn, it's HBO.
Oh, yes. That was
great. So that's kind of what happens. So then that just kind of snowballed into more productions realizing that they do need that kind of safety person on set, and to make sure that there's no exploitation happening of cast, that certain protocols are put into place to make sure that everybody feels protected. And it's also for protection for the production as well. Like they don't want to be, they don't want something awful to happen and then somebody to turn around and say, this happened on your set and I'm going to sue you now. So it protects everybody.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because of the fact that productions, let's face it, are going to look after themselves, and they have a million lawyers that are sitting there and just waiting to protect themselves, and that's the way that their contracts are written up. So the fact that they can do something that is smart for everyone and takes liability away from everyone makes a whole lot of sense. And when you're brought in, where do you start? Are you brought in by the director? Are you brought in by the production company?
My experience so far is that I've been brought in by production managers. And so they're kind of really in the mix of running the day-to-day of how the production runs. So I get interviewed, I say what I do, and then once I'm brought in, then the discussions start happening about what the director would like. So I talk to the director, I talk to the actors, and we make sure that the director's vision is communicated to the actors and that the actor's limits and boundaries are then communicated back to the director and that everybody knows what the expectations are. So you were talking about, Allison, about, you know, what's contractual and stuff like that, and that we are there also to help with the communication, the language of riders. Mm. So riders are those contracts. Currently they're called nudity and simulated sex riders. I prefer to call them intimacy riders because mm-hmm. it kind of covers a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's when the actor will look over what is expected of them and they'll write down, it's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going to do. I'm going to show this part of my body. I'm not going to show that part of my body. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And then that way there is a written statement that everybody can follow, especially when they're on set the day of shooting to mm-hmm. make sure that those expectations are met.
It's, you know what, yeah, I think it's so great that, you know, we're at this point. It would have been nice maybe to get there sooner, but we're here. That's the most important mm-hmm. thing. And, you know, like Evan was saying, like, I think a lot of the motivation, I'm sure, financially speaking, is money always makes everything happen, it seems like. But it just seems to me like the ripple effect of the benefits are just all over the place, right? Because, again, so many of the stories you hear are when someone has a bad experience, it kind of falls, it's just that there was wiggle room, in a sense, or things weren't being clear. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, like, it's, that's the most vulnerable time on set, probably, in a lot of cases. And especially as you were saying, like, sometimes it's scenes of, like, sexual violence or sex. Like, sometimes you're acting something that is so serious and so frightening, in a sense, in that moment, that it does kind of need to be carefully choreographed to make sure that the line between real and acting doesn't blend.
Yeah, definitely. There are horror stories of actors that have gone through such intense scenes and they weren't prepared either physically or they weren't prepared emotionally to deal with something like a sexually violent scene. When I was researching this, you had asked earlier about how I got into it. I have a background in feminist pornography as a director. So I know what it's like to try and create an environment that everybody is safe on set, especially mm-hmm. if you're going to be doing something so explicit. So when the information started coming out about intimacy coordinating, I thought, oh, my God, this is perfect for me because mm-hmm. I like being in film. I'm also a short film director as well that's not pornography. So it all kind of was this perfect storm for me. So the idea that you're protecting people is really important. And I'm also taking my master's in counseling psychology because I want to focus in sexual health in psychology. So there's the impact of such a really intense scene that can happen to an actor if you're doing something sexually violent and what they carry with them after they get off set. Like, yes, it's pretend, but they've still acted this specific behavior and they mm-hmm. still have somebody, either they're being attacked or they're attacking somebody, and it can really affect you psychologically and emotionally. So I'm also there to, you know, offer that kind of emotional support for somebody should they need it. I've heard horror stories. I was reading about concern over a Jodie Foster movie that happened many years ago. The name is escaping me now, but there was this really horrible rape scene.
Oh, The Accused.
The Accused,
Yeah, in the bar.
Yes, exactly. Bar. And, yep. And
scarring to watch. I can't imagine filming it.
And it was, I think it was the editor who had mentioned, you know, I had to watch that scene over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it was just, that's the kind of thing that you really...
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's not just the cast that's there. It's the people that have to watch that stuff over and over again. So I want to make sure that those people are also addressed as well.
See, this is so great because, yeah, I think it's easy, again, when things happen in the making of, quote-unquote, entertainment, it's really easy for people to brush it off. and go, yeah, but it's not real. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, get over it.
They were just acting.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Well, why would you be upset? And it's because it's like your primitive system inside you doesn't know that you're pretending. And so all of these synapses are firing in a way that would be, and yeah, oh my God, now I'm horrified thinking about the editor of The Accused. Yeah. Like that, cause even that movie, I'm like, I'll never watch that movie again.
Yeah, that was
very upsetting. Yeah. There, I think even just saying to some, cause I'm sure there are people on set that if someone's like, you know, that really upset me, they mean well, but they're like, you'll be fine. And that can be very dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
So having someone go, yeah, I can see how that would be upsetting. Just that alone must be a relief for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly.
And having that background and training and the courses that you're taking now would allow you not only to come in after the scene, but also beforehand to get everybody in a particular mindset and say, okay, what are we doing here, and walk them through it. So they've got the care before and the care afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. I've had some really nice comments from actors saying, I'm glad you're here. I've never worked with an IC before. I'm glad that you're going to be here for this particular scene. Even if it's just me standing in the room as an extra set of eyes, or knowing that they can look at me and give me a signal saying I don't want the scene to continue,
yeah,
then I can be that voice for them. Because as you were saying, it's like there are many actors that might not feel that they have that voice, especially if they're starting out really early, mm-hmm. and they want to continue that career. You know, it happened with the whole Weinstein thing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that a lot of people did not speak up because their careers were threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can just kind of picture the myriad of different situations where a young actor would not feel they were supposed to or allowed to speak up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just having that person to go, is this okay? You know, and you can check in with them. I just think it's really great because, look, I am someone who I love storytelling in all its forms. And everybody knows that, like, movies and television are kind of, I love them so much and I value them so much. And I think I get really frustrated when people are dismissive. Like if an actor goes, well, it's not like I'm curing cancer. Shut up.
Yeah.
We also can't live without these stories, right? Mm-hmm. Like it enriches our lives. And so if we can make it the best environment possible, yay, let's do that. And so I think the fact that this is so often too, when there are issues addressed in an industry, you don't really see proactive ways in which people are trying to make change. And I think just having these different production places and sets go, well, let's bring in an intimacy coordinator. Mm-hmm. It's tangible evidence of like, okay, we've recognized there's an issue, we're going to do something about
it. Exactly. It's the addressing that there is that concern.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you still, because there's always going to be some people that you're going to be kicking and screaming to the altar, are there still those in the industry that are going, yeah, we don't need that?
Yeah, because the industry is so new, and mm-hmm. For so many years, some of the responsibilities that an IC takes on have kind of been shouldered by other crew members. So you'll have the first AD or the director or the producer, mm-hmm. Who is on set, who kind of has been looked to, even stunts, have been looked to as like the protective guardian. And there are so many decisions that somebody has to make. That's just an extra thing that they have to worry
sure.
about. Mm-hmm. But there are those that have said, you know, I've dealt with this for 20, 30 years. Why do I need to do it now? And
sure.
there
yeah.
are some that will, I've heard that there are some that will say, you know, as an actress or an actor is like, well, I had to go through the shit, you know, so everybody else has to pay their dues kind of thing,
yeah.
which is difficult. But on the plus side, most of it has been really positive. Like I've been lucky mm-hmm. enough for the
oh,
people
good.
That I've been working with
good.
Have all been very amenable, been very generous with their time. Anytime I have any questions or concerns, you know, they direct me to the right person and everybody's been really welcoming.
That's
yeah.
great, because there was a time when the industry's idea of protecting everybody was just it's going to be a closed set.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just close the doors and we'll lock it. Don't let anybody in while the red lights. Well, it's more than that. And obviously mm-hmm. what you're doing now is showing that.
Yeah, and even with the close set, like we are there also to make sure that those close set protocols are put into place, because there are times when, even though you have them and you know that you're supposed to have them, not everybody's really mindful. And again, because some productions, they're so large and there are so many monitors that have to be on and people that have to be looking at a particular shooting scene, mm-hmm. that they just kind of forget that not everybody else in the room has to be witnessing what's going on in front of the camera. So we're there to make sure, like, you know, monitors are turned away from, you know, the general population of the rest of the crew, that, you know, doors are closed, things are flagged, and that, you know, cameras aren't recording at a time when they shouldn't be recording. Then any digital images that are put or filmic images that are created are for the service of that particular scene and not for anything else.
I mean, it just makes sense. There are so many moving parts, and with a big film, or like with a series like C, which is huge, and it's funny, actually, my roommate is working on the sets.
Oh, yes.
For C, and mm-hmm. even just sort of listening to him talk, like, you, I've kind of gotten this idea of, like, oh, yeah, the scope of a series is huge. Mm-hmm. And yes. There are so many different pieces that go into place that you're right, like, the producer that's on set literally probably has 800 things a day that they're trying to go through and check off. And there's all these things that having someone whose job it is, I mean, it makes me feel better, and I'm not on set. You know what I mean? And obviously there's going to be some, I would imagine, I mean, varies so much in terms of what the project is, because there's some, like, a sitcom isn't probably going to need an intimacy coordinator because they're usually PG. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then we get into like HBO. Like, HBO should probably just hire you full time. Like, so, it's a really kind of interesting concept. And, you know, as we kind of move into this new era in Hollywood, you know, you were mentioning The Deuce, and they're part of what has come up, and especially, you know, with like James Franco, is some of the issues people have had with him do seem to go back to that whole, you know, was this the casting process? Was this appropriate? What happened on set? Like, things like that, that if we can just eliminate those as problems before they happen, mm-hmm. that would be great.
Yeah, there's as you say, there's a lot of moving parts, and there are so many sections from beginning to end that you have to worry about, and you don't know where a breakdown can possibly happen. Mm-hmm. And one of them is there's this expectation, or there was historically this expectation by many directors, that I'm not going to tell the actress what's happening, because I want the genuine reaction when the other actor enters the room and does something to her. And, mm-hmm. you know, that happened in Last Tango in Paris. Mm-hmm. And that was a horrific, horrific experience for that actress, who wasn't expecting what happened to her to be done by Marlon Brando, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, well, we wanted the genuine reaction from her. And it's like, that's not cool.
Yeah, that's
like,
not okay.
That's actually, it's, whether it's on set and it's for fiction, that's still abuse, mm-hmm. and assault. So we have to make sure that those things aren't expected. We have to make sure that, you know, even for, not that, again, I've been lucky enough not to experience it myself on the sets that I've been, but just comments from crew, like really lewd stuff. Like, mm-hmm. my husband's also a producer, and just some of the comments that he's heard from crew members, like, that's harassment,
yeah,
and that's illegal, and something has to be done about it. Mm-hmm. But because the industry has just kind of been rife in certain pockets with that kind of harassment, or that kind of like locker room talk kind of deal, it's mm-hmm. just kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's being in film.
Yeah.
And sure, there's the expectations, like, okay, you know, there can be some casual talk, but you don't have to be completely egregious with your language.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also productions, you know, as we all know, they don't stop for once you stop shooting one scene, It's just an army that just continues moving, and we don't have time to deal with any of your heartache. We've got another scene to shoot because
correct,
this is going to cost us. So it's just this huge town that continually moves forward. Mm-hmm. And so it's great having someone like you come in and go, no, the town has to stop moving right now because we have something to deal with.
Yeah, because this person has experienced some kind of discomfort.
Yeah.
I was with an actress on set a little while ago, and she had not worked with an IC before, and we got along famously during the evening, and she had misgivings about doing a specific scene, and at the end of it, she's like, I'm so glad you're here. It went really well. Everybody was so, like, not that it wasn't going to go well, because everybody on set was so incredibly professional. The crews that I've been working with are fantastic. But just that worry, if you've not done it before and you're experiencing people on set that you've not worked with before, it's like, I don't know if I really want to be topless with those people in the room.
Yeah.
So I am there to make sure it's like, you know what? You guys shouldn't be here. Even if it's friends, like that kind of thing. Like there's, the film industry can be very incestuous. Like everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. But even if you're friendly, it's like, well, I've worked with you before, but I don't know if I want you to see me topless.
Yeah.
So those kind of issues, we just make sure that everybody's completely comfortable. Because if you're not comfortable, then the director's not going to get the performance that they want.
Yeah.
Like it's going to come through in the performance.
Absolutely.
And you must have to have a very strong personality, even though, like, sitting here in the studio, you know, you're quite quiet in that, but you've also been named one of the top 50 fiercest women.
Tiger comes out.
Yeah, really. How did you get that on that list?
You guys do your homework. That came out, I co-founded a movement called Slut Walk, in 2011, and that was, a response to victim blaming in the Toronto Police Services. And we were going to do a little bit of a protest because that happened on York University campus, which was my alma mater at the time. And it's just like, you know what? That's not cool. We're going to make a stink. And that stink resonated around the world completely unexpectedly. And it turned into this multinational movement. And it's happening still in like 300 cities around the world, which is completely unexpected. And it was one of those things like, this isn't cool. We're going to address the cops. We're going to address the judicial system. And, you know, everybody came out of the woodwork. Like, all the media was contacting us. And it's like, well, you know what? It's just not cool. And we're just not going to take it anymore. And, it, you know, it wasn't like we were the first ones to do that. You know, we were one section along the feminist waves that have come through to make a particular stink about a particular issue. And this is the one that really resonated with us at the time. And, you know, Utne Reader was lovely enough to, or More Magazine was lovely enough to name us Fiercest Women. And it was just kind of like, it was one of my proudest moments because my husband, I've been with my husband for like 22 years, and I'm also Latina, so he knows that kind of like fiery. And he said, I love you because you're not afraid of scorching the earth. If you're going to piss me off.
What a nice compliment, right?
That's one of my favorite things that he said about me.
That's love.
If you're going to say something horrible, I'm going to call you out on it because it's just not cool. And it's one of those things like, you know, we have a 17-year-old, and it's one of those things like, if I have a kid, I'm going to make sure that they're growing up in a world that they can voice an opinion if they see something or hear something or experience something that is going to be detrimental.
Absolutely. It's so wonderful. And I just want to encourage people, they can go to your website, sjfbarnett.com, to learn more about what you do, your films, the whole encompassing of your career. And of course, everybody can watch C and Nightmare Alley and, you know, then in those scenes be like, hey, Sonia was there.
Yeah, exactly.
She protected. She protected the people. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a fascinating world to get a peek into. We will be right back on The Breakdown, Channel 167, Canada Talks.